The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another version as she takes her drink of coffee. You plan on doing some talking today, are you, Teresa?
I am. I thought you were going to do freaking
boy. We're totally transparent here in Tony Curry World.
Time is everything.
It's a brand new podcast called Home Field Advantage. Home Field Advantage is all about buying houses, renting property, real estate. It's everything everyone's afraid to talk about these days. And you are the one that now you've been doing it for 30 years or almost 30 years. You're the queen of it. You know exactly what's going on. Teresa Autry at Exit Realty in Birmingham, myexit.co. Myexit.co. Her number is 294-4210. So if and when you need her expertise, you can find her, and I will, because I'm renting. We're going to talk about rentals today. And by the way, congratulations. If depending on when you're hearing this show, she was also on our starting over or starting our starting a lineup show. We were starting over, but starting a lineup show on ABC 3340. You could tell where my brain is this morning on ABC 3340, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340, right before the big football matchups on Saturday. So you can see Teresa on there every single week as we talk about her wonderful product. Thank you very much. We had a great way. It was nice to have a good looking person on the TV screen. Finally.
I didn't realize after I left, I was like, these are all men. Yeah.
Well, it's a kind of a sports show, so it worked out really well.
I worked with all men my whole life.
All right. So you, I asked you a couple of questions. First question was, how many houses will the average person own in their lifetime? And you said?
Eight.
And I said, how long will that person be in their average home? And you said?
7.5 years.
Yeah. So I started going back, and I think I've probably already been in eight homes, but I'm 58 years of age. And the last home I was in was 17 years, and I probably would have stayed in it till I was dead. But judge told me I had to sell it. So I had to get back into the rental market, which is something that, quite frankly, I got into the rental market about 20 years ago. I was making really good money. I wasn't dating anybody. And there was this place that was $600 a month. Can you imagine $600 a month? That's what rents used to be. A nice apartment. You get a nice apartment for $600 a month. I found this other dude that was about my age. We were in our 40s. And I was like, let's just get an apartment together for a couple of years and save just a buttload of money. And we did. It was great. I was spending $300 a month on rent. Can you imagine? So now I'm back in the rental, and it's a little bit more than $300 a month.
More than $300?
It's about seven times that, as a matter of fact. And the funny thing is I'm paying $2,100 a month. My last mortgage payment was $1,289. So I'm paying roughly $800 more a month to rent. I'm not getting any of that tax benefit. I don't own my home, so I feel like I'm just thrown out the window. But I'll be honest with you, right now with the way the market is, Teresa, I feel blessed to have a place to live in. Explain, and you talked about this a little bit on the starting lineup, but explain just how tight it is, how difficult it is. And you know, we were brought up to rent to save money so we could own. Now it's more expensive to rent than it is to actually own the home. What are we doing?
Well, when we, particularly in our area, the Birmingham metropolitan area, which encompasses maybe from Coleman to Leeds, Moody area to South Clinton to maybe Tuscaloosa. So you've got the good surrounding metropolitan area. We have about 14,000 houses on the market. We closed 1,550 last month. And we are short on inventory.
Is that a lot? What typically, how many do you typically have in a month out of 14,000?
Well, we typically try to run those numbers around the 3,000 mark. But if you don't have the inventory, you don't have the inventory.
Trying to close 3,000. But usually inventory-wise, what do you normally have?
Inventory rise, we, in good years, we have about 18,000 to 20,000.
Okay.
And that's what we call selective. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the first-time homebuyers. And remember, we've got the seven categories, first-time homebuyers, the people that are building their foundation, starting a family, just getting married. And then the people that have the teenagers, getting in the good school systems. And those are the ones that stay in their 12, 15 years because they want to make sure the kids graduate. Mm-hmm. So that's the exception of it. Averages out to that eight-year effect in 7.5, 8 years. But the people that stay in there 15 to 17 years is typically when they have kids.
Gotcha.
And then the kids go off to different colleges, and then the parents are like, man, I got 4,800 square feet and I don't need it anymore. So then they downsize or they stay in it a few more years. Well, in our situation, we have so many factors. First, interest rates are a little bit high right now. And at the same notion, inflation's hit us pretty hard. We have an open border, so where are them people going to live?
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, places like New York and San Francisco are being overrun with the homelessness. People are living, I think I said this, in things that they never would have lived in before, paying astronomical prices.
Is back up for a minute. Is the border issue, and we all will admit we have a border issue.
Outside
politics, which we're not going to get into.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Has that really made a huge dent on the availability of homes and places to live in because the people coming in through the border? Yes or no?
I will tell you this. I met with a company yesterday, okay? And I spent this week meeting with rental companies who own property management and rental agencies. One particular company, 70% of their income came from rentals last year.
Wow, 70%.
Yes, and they handle everything from Section 8 to luxury homes. You know, they may have a, you know, single person that's elderly, and she just on Social Security disability, widow pension, whatever, and she lives in a Section 8, and you've got a family that lives in a 4,000. I literally saw a 20-year-old house yesterday in Hoover that was listed for rent. Are you ready for this? $3,400. That wow. Did not include lights, water,
and
gas.
It'll go.
It will. And the other thing is, we want to think about sales and rentals. Because not everybody should be in the seller's market right now. And I think a lot of agents are scared to tell people that. Like, this may not be the time for you to sell. Because number one, do you have the difference to get into the home you want?
Yeah.
Do you have the money if you're, and there's some good positives. So I label 3 positives for one and 3 positives for the other just because of time.
Sure.
For rentals, you had a tree that fell down. We were talking yesterday. But that's not on you.
Yep.
Your people's going to come. They're going to chop it up, fix it, whatever. Right? So that's kind of preparation. Also, if you've got a bug problem, maintenance problem, anything, you make a call, it's handled.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So two things is, yes, you're paying more rent, but the first thing is low maintenance for people to travel, for community, for executives, for people that are corporate and they're traveling all over the world. Sometimes they choose a rental because they want to be in a corporate apartment. If water pipes bust, they don't want their stuff ruined. Other people are building houses. They got to have somewhere to live. I know one community right now in Alabama, they had to build an apartment complex for the people trying to build in the subdivisions because they didn't have materials.
Wow.
260 people had to have somewhere to live. So they built a whole apartment complex for these people to move into while their houses were being built.
That's crazy. That sounds like the old mills, the old steel mills and stuff where you used to build towns for people that worked. Wow. And
so then you think about stuff like that. Also, we're in Alabama, so we get the hurricanes, we get the tornadoes, and that makes housing, you know, unavailable, especially if it's hit with a storm or something. You've got to go live in a rental. And then you have job loss, health problems. Some people get older. I have a friend, she's older and diabetic. She don't need to have a yard to cut. You know, she don't need to be spending her time outside trying to fix her gutters. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's about where the person is in their life and how does their needs fit into the demographics and what's happening.
It's really personal. Yeah, no, it's really unfortunate because I, if we had seen this and maybe we should have seen it after the 2008 crash, people like yourself, you probably saw this coming years out. If you're in real estate or you own rentals right now, it used to be, my brother owns 7 different apartments up in Cincinnati, and they're not nice places, but he does all the work himself. And he's always bitching and moaning about what a pain. He's always constantly building or doing something. Something needs to be fixed. It's a drain. Something like that. At this point in time, though, he's feeling pretty good about himself. Now he's had these properties for over 25 years, but he can charge the rent because people are willing. They're actually bidding over what he's asking for rent. And it's, I guess as long as people have the money to pay until the bottom falls out, until finally someone says, listen, we're not going to pay that. But like that, like the house in Hoover, I will bet someone will pay $3,400 for that place. Have we as a society looked at rentals? Are we looking at rentals differently now than we used to? Because it used to be the home dream, we're not getting married like we used to. We're getting divorced at a higher rate. A lot of people that are moving out have kids that are self-sufficient or they're already out of a high school or college. What's the, culturally speaking, what's the view on rentals? I got a friend of mine who's never bought a house. He makes $300,000 a year. He's a pharmaceutical guy. And he's like, I'll never own a house. I don't want to own a house. He's been married. He's got kids, but he can afford to pay $3,000 for rent for a home, but he loves rentals and he's always loved rentals. What's our look on that?
I think over the last 5 years, it's drastically changed. Used to, it was kind of like, oh, you're a renter. Mm-hmm. You know, like people kind of looked actually down on renters because they thought that that was unstable. You know, back 20 years ago, sometimes people wouldn't hire you if you were in a rental. Yep. They called it a permanent address. Mm-hmm. And they were like, thought you were nomadic or something. Well, now it's almost when the people went to work from home and they fixed all their homes up because now I'm in it 25 hours a day. Yep. So I'm going to make it what I want. Well, of course, that caused supply chain issues. And then people were buying stuff and fixing it. And then the Airbnbs came along. And I have I'll give you three situations I know right now today. One is two college girls, their sisters, their dad lives in Washington, D.C. They live here in Birmingham. One goes to Alabama, one goes to UAB. He's like, I need a townhome, a condo, something, because the rent is astronomical. He needs the tax deduction.
So he wants to buy.
So, but he's looking at something under $200,000 because under $200,000 is less than he's paying for his daughters to live in the apartment. He's paying about $2,000 a month. Then you have the other people, corporate guy. He's been married 5 times. He makes over $300,000. Look, every time he gets a new wife, I get a new check. I do not complain and I don't judge. Okay, my best client. And he worked for GM. He was the CIO and he would travel all the time. And he loved a furnished apartment while we built his house. He could go there, drop his stuff, do whatever he needed to do, have the social life, have the friends, make all his social obligations. I have 2 doctors. They work one in Atlanta, one in Birmingham. They switch it all the time, so both of them live in apartments.
Yeah.
They pay astronomical prices, and they're luxury. But some people, their contract's only going to be a year. Why would you sign up for a 30-year mortgage if you know you're going to be in the state maybe a year?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's... Again, it depends on the market, depends on where the numbers are. I mean, people, I mean, what's...
It does go back to your family values. Yeah. Think a lot of people are still programmed, buy a house, stay in 30 years and get your money and get out.
Yeah.
And that may not be the best thing for people. A lot of people need that new modern fix, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I always ask my client, women and men, all straight across the board, are you handy or are you not? Because if you're not handy and you don't have the money set aside to upkeep one of those 3,000 square foot homes, you may need to rent.
Yeah. I wanted to get into something and we can do this for another show because I think it would take at least an hour to get through it. But I actually got an email info@tonycurryradio.net about, these businesses or for lack of a better phrase, these stock market people who come in and buy all these homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the big portfolio guys is what we call them.
Big portfolio guys, is that what you call them?
So we call them that because they manage it, but they don't know about it a lot of times.
Yeah.
They just manage the money for the investors and they won't get it.
Yeah, and they're just coming in and really they're going in to like almost any market. Buying up homes. And a lot of times they're the ones that are paying up cash. They're paying more than what the house is actually worth because they know they're going to make it on the backside of the rent. Is that a major issue? Is that a big problem in this country right now?
I don't feel like it's a problem at all. I do feel like the foreign investors need to be vetted a little bit more. And I'm not opposed to foreign investors.
Yeah.
When I say a foreign investor, I mean from a communist country. Mm-hmm. We don't need communist countries buying up our real estate because.
And we know
America's only so big.
Yeah.
However, I do have a couple, and I don't mind sharing this. He was a military contractor overseas for 30 years, moved to South America, met his wife. They've been together for 30 years. Guess where he's from? Clinton, Alabama. Well, in March, I had a flip house over in Valleydale Road in Indian Valley near Heatherwood, and it went on the market at $488,000, totally remodeled, you know. He came in, we staged it. It was a beautiful home. We got 6 bids before it ever went live. And this was March, you know, a few months ago. And then we actually closed it. It went on the market at $488,900. We closed it at a 505 cash because he was moving back here.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a house that both his daughter and her daughters could come to visit. And he didn't need anything else. He just wanted them to have their own entrance in the basement. He wanted main level living. And then they had upstairs for other offices, rooms, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it went for 505 cash. And we closed it like within 17 or 18 days.
Wow.
So you're still having stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're still in a good area, a desirable area, but you're not seeing those 20,000 over bids right now. some of the builders and some of the developers are trying to empty their, I call it empty the shelves before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that's because, you know, they want to hurry up and get things done. That's the whole process of building and developing. And so to answer your question, I don't feel like we're in danger of the big companies. What I feel like is we need to watch where the money's coming from.
Yeah. I got like a trillion questions and you answer all these questions so well. And it always gives me like 50 more questions. Teresa Autry from myexit.co. It's in Birmingham, Exit Realty Birmingham. Myexit.co is the website. 294-4210, 294-4210. And she will answer her phone, by the way. What, when you're talking about the shortage of homes, and I understand that because you explained that last week and you go back and listen to any of our previous shows, the Tony Curry Radio podcast. Why? And this is kind of a dumb question. It's like I had this brilliant idea, right? I have this brilliant idea of we have floods in this part of the country all the time. Right. And then the West, they have no water. And I'm like, why can't we run a pipe that runs all of our flood water out to LA, you know, and fill up Lake Mead again. And people are like, you can't do that. I'm like, why not? We do it with our oil. Why can't we run a pipe? So this is one of these brain. So if I'm a billionaire and I've got more money than I know what to do with, why aren't I not investing in building homes? Why am I not building making a company right now and buying tracts of land and building a new Russet Woods and having 6,000 homes in it? Well,
there are people doing that. Unfortunately, let's go back to the pipeline thing.
Okay.
And if you ever studied any of America's history, which I have, especially the real estate section, John Rockefeller, he built the pipeline, the oil pipeline. You're talking about Standard Oil.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. And it literally showed how he built the pipeline. Step by step, they had horses walking along, building the pipeline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thought process was, number one, does a billionaire understand that that's the dynamics we're dealing with? Has anybody even approached the person and said, listen, if we could filter all of our hurricane water, say from New York down the southeast border line through, you know, the Carolinas, down through, you know, Georgia, southeast, Alabama, Mississippi, all across Florida, Texas, and filter that through the Hoover Dam, filter that through to Lake Mead, filter that to the wildfires? I don't know the perfect clear answer. But my children once said, Mom, why don't you buy an island? Because if anybody can build the pipes to the island, it's you. Because my thought concept was, why don't we do it under the ocean?
Yeah.
Route it down to the coast. So you've got short inlets coming out of the mainland.
I hear you.
And then filter into the ocean, do an underground pipeline, kind of like what the underground tunnels from London and Paris and those kind of things for the bullet trains and stuff like that go through. Filter it down, have it submersion. I would say them and filter it out, whether it's below ground or like Singapore, above ground. I don't care how it gets there, but under and filter it out so you're not disturbing the American soil.
Listen, you're preaching the choir here. I mean, I came up with that idea a couple weeks ago. People were looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like,
think about filtering it.
It's not cost effective. Am I cost effective? I said it would save trillions and trillions and trillions. And just think about the farmers and think about all the, I mean, it would just.
Look at Texas and the wildfires and the farmers and the cattle.
Yeah.
And the
crops. Well, we're going to change the world. You and me, baby. We'll change the world with this pipeline.
That's right. We'll get Elon on.
So tell me why someone like Elon Musk doesn't just buy a home building thing right now and just start.
He gave up all his real estate. You know that, right?
What's that?
He gave up all his real estate.
Yeah, but I mean, anyone's a smart businessman right now that's got the money knows that we have a shortage of homes. And if you have a shortage of homes, you start building homes. Particularly,
I'm going to start building on Mars with Elon. And if he ever hears this podcast, I'm going to be the first one to build a house in the ocean and a house on Mars. Bada bang, problem solved.
Is there a reason why there may be builders out there and I understand, you know, I've had friends of mine that were builders and they went through the 2008 thing and they got 3 or 4 homes in. They needed money so they could pay the third guy down the line and the third guy would pay the second line. It was almost like a pyramid scheme, but it wasn't. It was, you were buying homes and then all you needed was one big downturn. All of a sudden, you know, you had hammers in hand and no one to pay anybody. But we're not in that position right now, are we? So why don't we have more builders, or do we? And this is taking too long to build homes.
Well, here's a couple of things, and I'll just tell you, I have a flipper who wanted to get into new construction. Exactly for what you said. He's like, I can't find products to flip, so let's go build some. But when you look at the numbers and the cost of today, due to inflation, you simply can't build a home for what you could 10 years ago. So if the person is in a desperate situation, probate, death, divorce, maybe they couldn't keep the home, that's better for a flipper. But a flipper sits here and says, okay, I can flip this out in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. Whereas a builder might, you got to go through zoning, planning. You then have to get, you know, whether it's a PUD, planning unit development, where you can get government funds, or if you're going to do FHA, VA, all the HUD approvals coming in. There's a lot on the back end, and we joke about it. I love new construction, but it takes 2 years before you make a penny.
Yeah, that's true.
You have the staying power.
Yeah.
And a lot of people honestly don't have the staying power. And I think we discussed before how the custom craft builders are covered up right now.
Yeah.
You can't get on their books.
Yeah.
Other hands, a lot of people, and I'm not going to say a comment either way, because I'm just not going to do that. A lot of people have a cautionary flag for the larger builders, Adams Homes, D.R. Horton. They just simply feel like it's not customized to their level. They're track builders.
Yeah.
However, building's building. And sometimes it may take 6, 8, 9 months. Well, you don't know. We're in election year. We don't even know where we're going to be in 9 months.
Yeah.
We don't know who's going to be leading our country. And that's a sad state for us to be in, but this is where we're at. And what we need to do is get, it's almost like when you said pyramid scheme, think about going from the top down.
Yeah.
Federal government has to be obeyed. State government then comes into effect, and it can supersede federal, but it can't be less than. Then you got your local zoning and planning. And with them trying to put the government over local zoning and planning, I don't feel like that ever worked. They don't understand the local demographics or the slope of the land. I mean, it just is so much. However, when you are building subdivisions, you've got engineers, you've got surveyors, you've got builders, you have got architects, you've got house planners, you've got lumber factories, you've got roofs, you've got flooring, you've got concrete. Every single industry in America prospers when we're building.
Yeah.
Steel and real estate used to run concurrent. Whatever steel was doing, real estate's doing. Now with the cryptocurrency, with all this other stuff, people are tired of kind of Big Brother overlooking. So they're looking for these niche markets, and where's their need? Let's fix it.
It's amazing. I could sit here and listen to you all day, because it's just, I mean, again, you're throwing out questions and answers, and I got like a million more questions. Teresa Autry.
We'll get you in a home in 1 to 17,000 years.
No, it's amazing, because I've been in, I'm not in a real estate, but and you have been for 30 years, and it's just, I'm so glad we're doing this show, because I think there's going to be so many answers and questions. And a lot of them are, quite frankly, it's just, we have to be patient. We have to be patient with the way things are going right now. And, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm like on a 2-year plan right now. I just rented this house for 2 years. And I know it's expensive, and it's probably a little outside my range, but I'm going to do everything I can to save enough money that in 2 years, my number one thing is make sure that my credit is sparkling, and that, you know, I'm good. And the fact that I'm self-employed doesn't help.
Oh yeah. Let's loans. Take that danger.
Yeah. Geez,
same
dude.
Boat.
Yeah. Self-employment. It's great. Yeah. And I can do shows like this, and I can take the rest of the day off if I want to, but I also like to eat. So, you know, you have to work.
Thing like power, water, gas. Yeah. I mean, it's just those little incidentals, like sleeping indoors.
Sprinkling a couple of kids. And next thing you know, you're working 80 hours a week. Teresa Autry, myexit.co, myexit.co, Exit Realty, Birmingham, 294-4210, 294-4210. We have a few minutes left, and I know I've kind of been all over the road here, and in the future, if you have a topic idea or any questions, please email us info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net.
I want the public to be free Q&A. I really am trying to bridge that chasm and trust with the public and the real estate industry. So I'm all about, you got questions, email, call, we'll work through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it seemed like to me, and maybe this was 5-10 years ago. So as you get older, you double it. If it was 10 years ago, it was probably 20 years ago. It seemed like to me, everyone was becoming a realtor. Everybody was in real estate. If I don't know if it was a midlife crisis. I don't know if it was women, or men, who became self-sufficient because their children had finally left. And so they had more time in their hands. But it did seem like a lot of women, started becoming real estate agents. And I know some of them, as a matter of fact, my last house I bought was through a friend of mine, before you and I started this show. And my next one will be through Teresa Autry, but, So all these people are sitting in. I know you had to take a test and you had to do all these things. Where are those people now? Okay, because I think a lot of people are like sitting on real estate licenses and they're not really doing it. is that true?
I'm looking around saying, who are you going to ask that question to?
Well, yeah, because 4 or 5 years ago when everyone was getting twice what they were asking for their house, man, they were coming out of the woodworks. There were mortgage companies everywhere. I mean, it was just amazing how many mortgage companies were. And now it's the sound of crickets. And I think it's like everything in life, there's corrections, right? When things get too big and we start, you know, building a Walgreens right across the street from a CVS, right across the street from a Rite Aid, two of those stores are going to have to close. And it's just the way it is. But you got to build them first to figure out which one's going to beat the other two. And so I guess when it comes to just having a ton of real estate people out there, I had that question in the back of my mind and I wanted to ask you about that because I don't think people realize just how hard and how hard you have to work to be a broker like you have been for nearly 30 years.
Okay. I'll make it really short. Real estate is an easy business to get into and an easy business to get out of. You have to be very disciplined. You have to endure the cycles. You have to look out for other people's interests before your own. It's not just a quick thick paycheck. A lot of people's hands go into those pockets with those commas in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be self-sufficient and very due diligence.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, like, for instance, when the New North settlement, we call it weeding out. Up north, they call it survival of the fittest. They're a little rougher than we are down here. But people don't like to work when it gets cold. They don't like to work when it's summertime and all the family's at the beach. And, you know, a lot of holidays. My best month is March because I work during December when everybody wants to take off and go shopping and spend the money.
There you go.
I tell anybody. The other thing is it's an expensive hobby. And I think people don't understand that it's kind of like golf. You know, you can go out in here spend $500 for a bag of irons, or you can go out in here spend $50,000 on golf club. And it's the same with real estate. A lot of people think it's a get quick rich. You know, every infomercial is about flipping. However, there's so much work that's done behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been accused of this. You make it look so easy. It's like you're going to work.
Yeah. Well, we know that's
not true. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll make it look worse next time.
we know that's not true. And I think, you know, and there are times where flipping market's good and flipping market's not. I don't really see
the
flipping
market.
Yeah. I mean,
400 people have left since the NOR verdict and since NOR changed in the Birmingham metropolitan area. I can log on every day and see how many new listings came up, how many sold, how many went under contract, how many were pending, how many went off the market, how many agents we have, how many agents left.
Yeah.
And we have the old 80-20 rule here. 80% of the agents do 20% of the work, or 20% of the agents do 80% of the work. And then you have those agents that truly only want to do this part-time. They work at a bank. They got health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a mortgage. And so they're like, oh, I'm going to sell one or two houses a year. Well, when they realize people want professional, full-time, responsible, educated, knowledgeable, professional people. By the way, when you mention women, the statistics, national and international, are true. Women are better salespersons.
I believe it.
In real estate, to be exact.
I believe
it. And we do almost 75% of business. However, that's usually across the board. Men generally have been the forefathers of the real estate. And mm-hmm. we talked about some of that last week with the NOR situation. And when you see people like, I'm just done. I don't want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And you've got lawsuits left and right. You've got people, they're trying to slice up our paycheck. You don't see me going to Congress and saying, hello, Mr. Congressman, I'm going to need you to be up the bar, the NAR, the R, the MLS. Oh, by the way, your office, the sign company, the billboards, the cards, your shirts, your merch, all that's going to be taken out of your paycheck. And good luck to you. You better pass some laws or fix some things, because otherwise you don't get a paycheck.
Mm.
Now, if we did that, our world may would change, but that's not the way it's governed.
Yeah.
So I call it feet in the street. We see things that other people don't see. And sometimes people are so in out, they've got their blinders on, and they're like, I'm going to sell, I'm going to work, stay in my lane, I'm not going to worry about these other crazy people. And they just pump it out. They're just machines. Other people find their niche. Some are older people transitioning into assisted living or transitioning to the afterlife. Some people are, you know, moving. We talked about the seven things. Those things happen.
Yeah.
You know, this guy in Washington, D.C., lived in Alabama his whole life, and he retired in Montgomery. Now he lives in Washington, D.C., because that's where his next business venture took him.
Gotcha.
And so, do you see what I mean? Like, what I often see is people think it's so easy and simple because they see HGTV and everybody came up with them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Is it easy?
It's ridiculous. Right? It's ridiculous.
Everybody makes $100,000 on every flip, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No. Right. And typically, builders only have an 8 to 12% margin, and investors have about a 25% margin. Now, that's not to say every time, because you don't know the flipper is taking a risk. He don't know if he buys his house, he's going to have to put piping in, plumbing in, if the market's going to have to go down, if it's up to code, if it's not up to code. Whereas a new build, you're starting from scratch. You don't have to tear anything out and put it all back.
Yeah. Teresa, great stuff. Let's do it again next week. You want to?
Let's do it next week.
You can hear the show. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week. We run it every single day of the week on Tony Curry Radio, and where most people listen to it or watch it on our YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio Podcast YouTube channel. You may even have a link of this at myexit.co.
Yeah, I've been sharing it on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and Instagram. They told me I had to get off the social media side.
Oh yeah, I know. It's crazy, dude.
And that's another thing in real estate. You got to always be in front of the public's eye.
You got to eat it up. MyExit.co, 294-4210, 294-4210. She is Teresa Autry. Till next week. Thank you, baby doll. This is Home Field Advantage. I appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.